Well, Pastor Charlie is the glue of C3 Fremantle. And obviously his wife as well. I mean, they've been with us since the beginning. I mean, it's just so cool having these guys. And as Pastor Charlie does a great job at connecting with just about everybody. He knows everyone in whole of Perth. But it's a great blessing this morning having Pastor Charlie. So let's give him a warm hand of applause.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Pastor Nigel and Pastor Andrea. It's great to have you as our pastor. I've been here for, since the word dot, 16 odd years. And it's been really good. And one of our focuses here at church has been to love God, to love each other, and to love our community. And that has never changed. Am I too loud? That has never changed. And do you know, I'm going to read this scripture, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And verse 39 says, as and your neighbor as yourself. It pays to love your neighbor, doesn't it? I can tell you 12.5 million reasons why you should love your neighbor. 12.5 million reasons. This week, I heard in the news about a woman who loved her neighbor. Her neighbor needed milk. Her neighbor needed the lights changed. Her neighbor needed help around the house. And she would organize things for her. And when she passed away, who did she leave everything to? Her neighbor. $12.5 million. How good is that? That's worth loving your neighbor, isn't it? You watch, everybody today is going to start loving their neighbors. This was in the news. That is very true. The beneficiary of that was Beatrice Gray. And the lady that passed away was Betty Harris, aged 95. This was in Sydney. Isn't it amazing what happens when you go back to basics? Now, I know we don't go loving people for what we can get out of it. I know that. But I just love that story this week about Betty Harris and her kids. Betty Harris's kids, her nephews, nieces got nothing. Why? They just didn't care. They didn't care for anything. Hadn't seen her for 12 or 13 years. She passes away, and who shows up? At the lawyers. They do, contesting the will. Oh, look, we're her nephews and nieces. But you know what? They lost out. Love your neighbor. Guys, you know, I love loving God. Don't you just love God? Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul, and all that is within you. Love Him. Because it's through Him that we can love others. Because He first loved us. You know, this morning I'm going to share out of Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to start off with 13 and verse 4, okay? Love is patient. Love is kind, does not envy it, does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. In in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13 it says, and these three things, faith, hope, and the greatest of all these three is love. So this morning, I do want to touch on all three, but I want to give prominence this morning to love. Love is an amazing attribute, an amazing attitude, right, that God calls us to do and to be. But love Him first. And love Him foremost, because out of Him, our life flows and grows. Loving God is so, so important. I just want to share something with you about a man named Thomas Cooper. In 1550, he put together the Cooper Dictionary. And he was married. We're just going to have a look at an illustration here about how he handled a situation with his very angry wife. He was a bishop of the Church of England Church, and he put together many years of his work. And one day he was out, and his wife was so angry because he used to stay up late at night compiling all this work. After 8 years, she, in a fit of anger, she grabbed all his work and threw it in the fire. He comes home. Where's all my work? It's in the fire. And what does he say? He says, "Oh, Audrey. Oh, Audrey." And then he goes on and continues rewriting, starting again. And today we have the benefits of Thomas Cooper, known as the Cooper Dictionary, the thesaurus dictionary. Love never fails. You know, we're love in our relationships, love in our marriage. You know, a story of a man, men, sorry to pick on us today, but we just sometimes seem to be the ones that head south. This man, married man, lovely wife. And he, it's fallen off. So I get so excited. I get so in love with God that I physically, when I'm in here worshiping and praising God, I just let it rip. Nothing stops me. And things fall off. But my clothes have never fallen off. Never. Okay, thank God for that. Where was I? That's right. He would never open the door of the car for his wife, never. Even if she was carrying the shopping, right, to the car, and she, "Oh, darling, can you please open the door?" He would respond, "You've got two hands, you've got a heartbeat, you've got two legs, put them down, open the door, put them in yourself." That was his attitude. That's what he was like. Anyway, years gone on and she passed away, the first one to die. Anyway, at the funeral service, at the end, it was time for the pallbearers to take the coffin out through the doors and into the car. So they head out. And the funeral director, as they got out, said, "Sir, please open the back door of the car, the hearse." And so he opened the door. And as he's opened it, he just freezes. He's like, "Oh my goodness. This is the first time that I've ever opened the door for my wife. In her death, the first time and the very, very last time." Man lived with that regret for many, many years. Many years. Love never fails. Love never fails. We love God. We love each other. You know, last week, Marcel did a great job in sharing, and he talked about brotherly love. And I heard a great story here in church, here in this house, of some brotherly love. Thank you, David. If we could run with that, that'd be awesome. This was just amazing. I was so blessed by people in our church. Okay.
Hi, C3 Church. How are you going? It's great to be here today and talking to you guys. I'm really looking forward to this morning's message. It is going to be absolutely fantastic. And I have got someone here with me right now. This is Conrad.
Hello, Church.
Conrad is just a delightful member of C3 Church Fremantle. And he has just been joined probably about 4 weeks ago by his beautiful wife,
Dina.
Yes. So Dina and Conrad DeSalle have are part of C3 Church Fremantle. And I'm just going to ask Conrad a few questions.
Yeah.
Conrad.
Yes.
It's so great to have you here and being a part of C3 Church Fremantle. Now, how has it been?
It's great. I've been since the beginning I came here. There's a lot of a blessing that I received.
Yes.
And especially the support of every member of the church.
Fantastic.
And especially our local connect.
Yes.
In our area.
You're enjoying your connect group?
Yeah, definitely.
Great. Who's your connect group leaders?
Of course, Graham.
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 And, anyone else? Is he married to anyone?
I think it's Lydia.
Very good.
I just miss it.
they're a wonderful couple, aren't they?
Yeah, of course.
Now you've been here for probably a good 3 or 4 months.
More than 5 months.
5 months, okay. Yeah. And Dina has just joined you probably about a month ago.
Yes.
Now, yeah. I heard that your connect group did something very special.
It's a very surprise thing that I was shocked a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, the Graham, his wife, and grandma.
Yeah.
Of course, mother of Graham. They gave us a flowers and some present cake.
Yeah.
Just a welcome cake for Dina.
Yeah.
So, we're very blessed.
So when you picked up Dina from the airport and you drove home, you walked in the house and there was a big pleasant surprise.
Yeah. It's like a birthday cake.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, it, what a way to start our beginning of life here in Australia.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah, very, very
fantastic. That is just awesome.
Thank you. Yeah.
Church, this is just a great example of church just loving one another. And I just think that's amazing. Thank you to Graham and Lydia and the mum, and it's just awesome. See you, church.
Praise God. That's great. Well done, church. John chapter 13 and verse 34, a new commandment that I give unto you, that all of you love one another as I have loved you. And all the people will know that you are my followers if you love one another. If you love one another, people will see how we love and how we love one another. People ask me, Charlie, what are some tips? You know, you talk to people. You do pastoral care. You love God. You do pastoral care. You work in the community. Now, what do you do? What are you all about? You know, and there's the three things that are my ingredients that God has put in my heart, and that is these scriptures: faith, hope, and love. Those three ingredients in our lives, when we are talking to people in your community, when you are talking to your family, when you are talking to people that don't know the Lord, you know, faith, hope, and love. We have a gentleman who comes into Port Kerr. And his name is Peter. And he is an atheist. He is, he's self-proclaimed. He tries to convert me to atheism. That's so funny. He goes, Charlie, I believe you Christians have a defective gene. He goes, I'm sure of it. I go, yeah, that's why I love you. It's a defective gene. It's called the love gene. And that's why we do things. That's why we love one another. That's why we reach out to our community. It's because of this defective gene. Please, go figure. Help me, Peter. Anyway, Peter, right? Yana's laughing here because she knows him really well. He just comes in to talk to her. And, you know, Peter, he does get surprised. He sees some beautiful women working at Port Kerr. And he goes, oh, my God. What do you want? Of course they're beautiful. Of course, you know, hey, that's how it is. We're all good looking. We're handsome. We're you know. Anyway, so Peter, you guys are distracting me. Sorry. So Peter, we share a lot. We talk a lot. And anyway, he came. I had to go do this pickup weeks ago. And he's got this ute. Anyway, I was all planned, ready to take the van and pick up a trailer and go out and do this pickup. And I rock up at Port Care, and Peter's there. And I see his ute. I go, oh, gee, I would love to use his ute. So I walk into Port Care. He's just about to walk out. I'm going, Peter, I need your help. He goes, what, Charlie? I says, I need your ute. He goes, what for? I said, I need to do this pickup. He goes, oh, where now? He goes, okay. All right, no worries, let's do it. He goes, you need to give me 20 minutes. I just need to go drop the stuff off and I'll come back. I says, yeah, no worries. Then I told him the fine print. I says, we're going north of the river. And he and he's stunned. He goes, okay, all right. Anyway, goes away, meets me back there in 30 minutes, and me, Joy, and Peter, we're heading in this ute, there's three of us, we're heading north to this pickup, picking up the donation. It was so funny. And so we just had this ball of a time. We always have a ball with him, all the time. And he asked me in the car, why did I become a Christian? What was in your, you know. So I began to share my testimony with him. And I began to share about the love of God, hope, faith, hope, and love, and what God has done in my heart. You know, I reckon there's no doubt about this. From when I met him, I reckon he was about 50 metres away from coming to Christ. But I reckon today he's probably about 20 metres closer. I am convinced, I'm so certain. He comes into Port Care, and at the counter, we have this, like a little scarf or a handkerchief, about a bit bigger than an A4 size, and it's the cross. It's what Phil Pringle has made. It's in his art gallery. Now, we've got this there, and he sees this other thing. It says, King of Kings. Sorry, Catherine, where are you? He goes, oh, God. He goes, what do you have that up there? That's, you know, kind of mocks it a bit. And so I says, do you understand this cross here and all the different colours? He goes, no. So I began to explain to him about the different colours of the cross, you know, read about the blood of Christ, about the suffering, about hope, faith, and the love of God. And he's like, oh, okay. Because I like that one better than that one. I said, Catherine, did you hear that? So faith, hope, and love. We need to have that permeating in our lives, don't we? Loving people fervently, like loving God fervently. We need to love people fervently with all our hearts. You know, show them that you're real. Show them that you are authentic. You know, I walked in there into Port Care, and Lana's there. A customer had walked in with a little baby to do some shopping, and Lana just approaches the lady. Oh, can I look after your baby, you know? And yeah, sure, gives Lana the baby, and Lana's, you know, looking after this baby. Some good practical acts of kindness go a long, long way. Okay, I just want to read this card that someone wrote to me, and I thought, really, is that me? But praise God, this is God. To dear Charlie, they say that there is a reason for everything in life, and that God has a reason for everything that happens. She has a belief in God. She's not in personal relationship. She has a belief in him. Okay. The Lord has a reason for everything that happens. I don't know if you realize that the man you are is so inspiring, and your love and compassion for your help, for your fellow human beings is an absolute joy to witness. I just wanted to thank you for your advice, for taking the time to help me. I have not told my story to many people. Many people are judgmental. So thank you for listening and helping me. And she goes on to say, when I get married, I couldn't think of anyone better to marry us. Thank you. So, you know, we're a people, right? We want to be authentic, don't we? We want to be real with people. It's no good being someone that you're not. Just be who you are. Be real with people. Just love people. Love one another. Here in the house of God, continue to love one another. I love that story of Conrad and Dina and what their Connect group did. How special is that? Isn't that awesome? I think that's fantastic, you know, that we continue to love one another, love our community. You know, hope is really, really powerful. Betty and I visit we used to visit a person in prison. And he was doing about 3 years or so. Anyway, he's in prison. And so what can I say to him? Well, I'm in there to give this man hope. And here's one of my, it's not mine actually. This is a resource I got from someone else. But I have this on my wall. I keep it there to remind me, and I talk to people about when their dreams fail, or their dreams or their plans don't actually come off. I say, okay, this is hope. Hope is a confident expectation of what is sure. Hope is a picture of a preferred future. And I said to the young man, I said to him, listen, you're in here, but where do you want to be? You want to be outside. So I want you to think about when you're outside. I want you to think about when you are, that you're going to spend time with your kids. This is building hope. This is giving them a future. This is, you know, this is God. Don't be down mouth to people. Oh, look, Megan, I'll probably be here for the rest of your life, you know. You don't get your act together. Well, I mean, that's true too. But, you know, we want to give people hope. We want to believe in people that they're going to make it. Because with God and with Christ, they can do all things and they can make it. They can make it. Okay, all that the moment you are inside, but picture yourself, you're going to be outside. Do you know he had 12 months to go, right? But he got out a lot earlier. And do you know why I believe that? Because Betty Gardner here prayed for this man. And he got released earlier because of God, because of her faith. Now, I visited Paul in our church about a month ago. Now, I don't always do this, right? I don't always do this. But this was a day when they were going through there was some spiritual warfare happening. His wife had heart palpitations, had to go to hospital. His car was not running well, and there was just things happening, and I just felt in my heart that there's something not right here. He couldn't use his car, he couldn't travel. So I put my hand on the bonnet of his car. I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, touch this car, Father God. Lord, just bless this car in Jesus' name. And I said to him, come on, let's get in the car, follow me, and we're going to go to a mechanic. We went to a mechanic. And he couldn't find any fault with it. Could not find, he goes, I don't know. He goes, just keep driving it. Is that right, Paul? Is that true? Got in the channel, I'll give you $20 later. No, but that is a true story. That is very true. And I've seen things like that happen before. So church, in these days and coming weeks and in your life, be permeated with faith, with hope, and with love. This Christmas season is a season, right, to reach out to your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones. Invite them to your Connect group. Invite them to Christmas service. Invite them. They'll come. This is a very good reason why they'll come. Because it's Christmas. And God can turn their lives around. Be acceptance of people. Be real. Be genuine with people. In your hand, you have the communion cup. And this is for us to remember that what we're about, that what Jesus did for us, that he first loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How privileged are we to have the grace of God, to have everlasting life. How privileged are we to love God and to love each other and to love our community. I think no better way to finish this morning with this cup in our hands, remembering that this is what he has done for us. And in turn, as we love God, we reach out to each other and to our community. Heavenly Father, today I thank you, Lord, for this cup. Thank you, Father God, that you shed your blood for me. And Lord Jesus, today I surrender. Lord, I surrender, I abandon my life to you, to your cause and to your will, Father God. Forgive me of all my sins, Lord Jesus. Forgive me, Lord, where I haven't loved you, Lord, like I should. And Lord, and my neighbor and my community. Drink that now. Drink that. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, today for this biscuit. Lord, it reminds us, Lord, of your body. Lord, your outstretched arms, oh God. Lord, we just think of you right now, Lord, your body. We think about the hope, Lord, that you gave us. Hope of the world. Arms outstretched wide, Lord. You accept everybody, Lord. No matter what creed, what color, Lord. You accept all of mankind, Father. And Lord, today we enlarge our hearts, Lord, to receive all mankind, Father. We drink that now. We eat that now, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your body today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand up. I'm going to read the scripture. As we finish, Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. But if Christ is in you, then the Holy Spirit will give you life, because Christ made you right with God. God raised Jesus from the dead. And if God's Spirit is living in you, he will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that lives in you. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Let's just reach our hands out to God right now. Father, thank you. Thank you for your resurrection life right now. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Pastor Nigel.
Wow. It was great hearing some of those stories, but also the love of God. Lord, let's lift our hands towards Charlie this morning. For I don't think you have fully comprehended, says God, the effect that you have had since you have been in this city. And some of the promises that you know have been God have been a little bit slow. I would say the same, actually, as your senior minister. But I know that God is saying, Charlie, that there is a lot more coming. And there is the faithfulness that you have, you and your wife have for this house, and your faithfulness that you have for Andrea and I, your faithfulness you have to this entire community, that God is going to astound what is coming. And even though right now we're in a time of transition for Port Care, but we, as we trust God, we are going to see brand new opportunities. And that there is going to be a soul winning. It's going to be something that is regular. And that as Port Care goes to a whole new level, a new phase of life, that there will be such a connection with those that need you most, that God is going to increase your capacity to be able to see what you can't see right now, because there is an increase of the spirit level as you've been faithful to the things that He's called you to do and the purposes that you have in yourself. God has gifted you. I can't do what you do. God has gifted you with incredible ability to get alongside. Father, today as a church, we honor this man. And we thank you for him in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that if we just get one touch from Pastor Charlie, Lord, let the love of God just be on our hearts and minds. Help us, Lord, to be just a little bit like Charlie, so that we can be all that we can be for you, an ambassador of Christ. In Jesus' name. People of God said,
amen.
Amen. Good on you,
man. Praise God. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.